Good morning. My name is Raphael. I'm the youth pastor here at Focus 314. Before we go any further, I want to give a shout out to the youth over there. Woo! Hey, they are killing it right now. The youth is on fire right now, and we're so excited because, hey, this is the momentum that we want to build in our kids, the next generation that is coming up after us. So we want to make sure we build them. But hey, let me introduce myself to you guys. I have two little girls. Beautiful little girls, and I also have an amazing and strong wife who is sitting right here in the front. Her name is Rosa. Yay! yes, I do have two girls and a wife. That means I have a house full of girls, so I need all the prayers. I need all prayers, guys. Okay, all right, that was a little funny, but okay. All right, but you know, when I was preparing for this message, I came to this point. We do some crazy things for the ones we love. You know, I started thinking back, and I, you know, my wife, I love her. She's beautiful and amazing, but she loves the San Antonio Spurs. And some of you guys are not familiar with that. San Antonio Spurs is just a basketball team, right? It's a basketball team in the NBA. Okay, me, I don't care too much about basketball. I'm not a basketball player. I can care less about basketball. And please forgive me for some of the guys that I play basketball with. I'm not a basketball player, you know? Maybe because when I was younger, I was always the last guy getting picked. You know, I was always the last guy. They're like, hey, who wants to play? And I'm like, yeah, I was always the last one. After a couple years of that, I was like, okay, I get it. I'm not supposed to be a basketball player. I wasn't created to be a basketball player, you know? Just me. I could think of many other things to do instead of playing basketball. But here I am, after I married my wife and you know, having a relationship with her, I realized that now I'm watching the San Antonio Spurs. I'm following them hardcore, and not only that, but I'm actually playing a lot more. You know, so I came to this point. Man, we do some crazy things for the people we love, and why is that? Why is that? And you might be thinking, okay, where are you going with this? This is Sunday. Why are you talking about basketball? Why are you talking about doing things for the people you love? Well, the point is this, is that the reason why we do it, the reason why we do the things our loved ones do, is because we love them. We love them. We love them. We become unselfish, and now we want to make sure we partake in whatever their hearts longs for. So today, we're going to talk about Joshua. All right? And Joshua, for some of you guys don't know, it's a character in the Bible. or if you don't know about Joshua, might not be familiar with him, all you have to do is go to Hobby Lobby, and you will find like a million cool decorations with a reference of the book of Joshua in it. But if you don't know what Hobby Lobby is or don't want to go to Hobby Lobby, just open your Bible. It's just the sixth book in the Bible, so you'll be able to dig into it and know who Joshua is. But today we're going to be talking about Joshua, and why we're talking about Joshua is because the series that we're going through is called Running with Giants. Joshua gave us an example of how he lived his life. From very early young, you look at Joshua and the life of Joshua, and it looks pretty simple. It looks very uneventful. I mean, there's a couple highlights of his life, but if you look at his life and how he came about to have his name, there's not much to see. Guys, I don't want to offend anyone, but he reminds me of the kid that grew up in church, that never really did anything bad, and now is in, you know, in some sort of ministry. And now we think about, oh, well, you grew up in church, you had God this whole time, you never went out and did this and did that. And he reminds me of that kid. But the thing is this, is there is more than just looking at a person. There is more than just looking at someone who established himself as a leader in the community. There's a struggle behind there. So we're going to look at Joshua, and we're going to look at three things, and we're going to see what made Joshua the man he is, or sorry, he was. So the first thing, Joshua was a servant. If you can throw that out there for us. So if you have your talk notes, Joshua was a servant. Why is that important? Because did you know that Joshua was actually with Moses when he went and received the Ten Commandments? Some of you guys didn't know that. It blew me away because when I was looking at the scripture, I'm like, wait, Joshua was with Moses. When we think about Moses and the Ten Commandments, we see Moses receiving the Ten Commandments. Obviously, if we stick to the scripture says that he went halfway, and then Moses went and received it, and then he came down. Joshua also, many scholars believe that he not only was a servant, but he served for 40 years. 40 years. Can you imagine serving for 40 years? I mean, we only been here in this church for 4 years. And it gets tough after every weekend you come and serve and set up the church. For 40 years is 40 years. That's an extremely long time. And we think about Joshua, and we look at his life and the way he served, and it only helps you to think, why did he do it? Why did Joshua become such a servant as he was? Well, let's look at a scripture here real quick that kind of guides us a little bit through this message. It says, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. That being said, by looking at the life of Joshua, we can take that example and we can apply it to our lives. It can encourage us. It can make us just hold on to those promises, so when tough times come, we can remember and have a reference point of what God did in Joshua's life, or what God did through Joshua, and don't give up as we patiently wait for God's promises to be fulfilled. So if we look at Joshua, right, he served for 40 years. And then we look at him and the way he served, Joshua's servitude was a pure reflection of his love towards God. He loved God. And because that love for God, he wanted to serve the people. I mean, we get a little example here when Jesus was restoring Peter after Peter had denied him three times. Jesus resurrected. Peter and Jesus have this little conversation where Jesus asked him, do you love me? Do you love me? He asked him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Every answer was yes. And what was Jesus' response to that? Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. God loves us. God is constantly seeking after us. He loves his people. Joshua understood that. Joshua understood that God loves us, and he wanted to be a servant. He wanted to serve the people of God because he knew how much we mean to God. I don't know where you're sitting at as far as serving capacity. I don't know if you are actually serving, but this is what I realized, and this is what spoke true in my life about serving. When you serve, this is a crazy thing, and I'm about to just drop some truth right here. When you serve, you are sitting in the front row to see God's miracle. Let me say that again. When you're sitting in front of a row, you're able to see clearly what God is doing. And let me tell you this. How do I know that? Because I'm a short guy, right? Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, let's just throw it out there. I'm short, right? But the thing is this, that I understand how much it stinks whenever you're sitting down and something cool is about to happen and everyone gets up and you're like, oh man, what's going on over there? Oh shoot, ugh. Then next thing you know, you just missed the play. You're like, man, that. And then they were like, oh, did you see that? No, you were standing up in front of me. So I understand, you know, the difficulty of, you know. So what did I do? I try to position myself in a place to know where I can see the play take place. Or I can see that amazing thing happens. When you serve, that is exactly what you're doing. You're putting yourself in the front row to see what God is doing. You become part of it. I can see whenever I watch the Spurs, I see the front row are always jumping around and they're like almost running with the player and everything. They're excited. They're in the front row. They're seeing everything. They're seeing the struggle. They're seeing the whole thing build up, and they see what is happening. Joshua was right there. He knew what the people of Israel have gone through. And let me tell you this, the people of Israel were not easy to deal with. It was so crazy that the generation that came out of Egypt did not make it into the promised land, because the Bible God called them stiff-necked people. They did not want to listen to what God wanted to do and say in their lives. So it was hard to serve a generation like that. But Joshua did not let that bother him. He continued to serve his people because he loved God. That's how amazing things go, is that whenever you position yourself in that, you start to realize how amazing God is. You start to realize that, hey, you know what? My God is able. Oh, man, did you see what God did in that person's life? Man, that's crazy, yeah. And your faith starts to build, and then you start to create this archives in your mind and to realize that, hey, your God is able. And I realized that when I was serving, when I started serving here at church, it was really more about me than anybody else. When I was serving, I felt like I was providing a service for people. Like, here I go. I'm going to go help to clean up the church. No, God was working inside of me. And it was breaking me down. It was creating a relationship with God inside of me. And it was more about me than anybody else. Joshua understood that very well. He went and he served and he gave it everything that he had. All right, so with that being said, what happened after Joshua served is our second point. And our second point here, guys, for you guys who have your talk notes, is Joshua was known for his obedience. And I wanna throw that out there, right? Because the word obedience is very easily misunderstood. Because obedience is something that we kind of drift off from. I know I drift off from obedience a lot. I'm like, hey, okay, define obedience for me. We always trying to put our own input on obedience. But the crazy thing is that if we look at the scripture and look at how Joshua established himself as a servant, he was serving in the army of the Lord, right? And he was known as a military guy. He was in battle. Matter of fact, there's a pretty famous thing that happened in the book of Deuteronomy where they're fighting a king, and whenever Moses would put his hands down, Joshua would start losing the battle. And then whenever Moses would put his hands up, then Joshua would start winning the battle. He was known as a military guy. He was known to put in work. He was known to do what he was asked to do. But I want to focus on this particular event. So he's now the leader of the people of Israel, right? And he has a task to go and capture the city of Jericho, the promised land, to go ahead and take hold of the promise that God gave the people of Israel. And this is how God did it, right? Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with his kings and his fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days, and have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horn in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them, when you hear the sound blast of the long blast of the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, and everyone straight in it." Okay, it's really easy to miss what's going on here in this text, because you're looking at, oh yeah, it's just another story of the Bible when God was faithful and boom, the walls came down and overcame. But when you look at the whole picture, Joshua was a servant. Joshua was this guy here, look, I'm just here to serve God. I don't care how God's going to use me. I'm just here to serve. How did he serve? In the capacity of serving the people by volunteering in the army. He was known for putting in work. This whole time, he built his reputation of being an army guy all the way until he took a leadership of the people of Israel. Now, check this out. How did God ask him to bring down those walls? Take your men, take your sword. We're about to go fight. I mean, that's what he knew. No, God said, march around the wall. Sometimes he pretty much said, do the opposite of what you have been doing. Do the opposite of what you've been working for your whole life. And that's to fight. And now God asked him to do something completely different. Some of you guys probably think like, what? You want me to do what? For example, some of you guys, engineers, or and God asks you to do something different, you'll be like, "Wait, I went to school. What are those 10 years of school was for? Can I just stick to my same? I know how to multiply. I know how to add. Can you just keep me in the same?" You know, because that's what I know what to do. But no, God asked him to do something completely different. Joshua was obedient. And we look to the next, how the next verse goes. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the army, "Advance, march the city with armed guards going ahead of the ark of the Lord." He didn't hesitate. God said something and he did it. It never said, Joshua tried to make excuses. "Well, God, are you sure? Because they have source and they have something going on over there. God, are you sure you don't want me to take my sword just in case? You sure you don't want me to throw rocks at the wall? Are you sure, God?" He didn't ask no questions. It clearly says that. So Joshua the son of Nun, called the priest. Immediately, he did not doubt one time what God was going to do. And you know what's so crazy? About 2 years ago, we had one of our students. Her name was Jennifer. She's now in college. And she shared this story with us, which I think is so amazing that a student is able to share this with us. But she said that she was at the MVD. Did I say it right? Okay, good. Because it's not the MVD anywhere else. Only here in Arizona is MVD. Anyway, so she's out there in the MVD, and then she's trying to get her license, right? And she's waiting in line to get her license. She couldn't help but to overhear the conversation in front of her. This young man was inquiring about God. She was like, "Man, you know what? I feel like something inside of me is telling me to go and talk to this person, to go and share my faith with this person." But hey, every time we get to a point when God is asking us to do something uncomfortable, what do? It's okay. I don't know. The scripture says that I have to have another person testifying of that. So I'm going to wait for that person to testify that my thoughts are actually real. And then I'm going to go ahead and do it. So we quickly, you know, go to a point of like, "I don't know if I should do this. Okay, maybe next time, Lord. Right now, you know what? I'm wearing shorts, and I don't really like the color of the shorts. And you know what? I didn't do my hair, and it's just..." So we start to make excuses. You know, we always put these things in front of us. Whenever God puts something in our hearts, we always say, "God, you know what? It's too hot outside. You brought me here to Arizona. It's too hot outside, so it's your fault." You know, we always put things in front of what God is telling us to do, you know? And the crazy thing is that she's telling us a story. Jennifer is telling us a story. Is that she couldn't dismiss that thought of going and talking to this young man that was in front of her, and believe me, all you guys who have been to the MVD, that line does not move at all. It's like every 10 minutes, like you take a step. It's horrible. And she went on the wrong day too. She went, I think, like Tuesday, which is like super packed. But anyways, so she's stuck. She's stuck in this situation. So right now, she's struggling to receiving and being obedient to the word, to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to let her know, "Hey, you know what? You have to talk to this person about me. You have to. And this whole time, she's like, no, I can't do it, God. I'm sorry. You did not. And she's battling with this thought. She's battling until she said this to me, and it blew me away. Is it 1 second of your uncomfortableness or a lifetime of not knowing me? See, that's what was at stake. Her being uncomfortable for about 1 minute tops, or maybe more, maybe 2 minutes, or a lifetime of someone not knowing God. And that's how crazy obedience is. Is that sometimes we don't understand that it's someone's relationship with Christ that is at hand. But we're so worried about our hair, our shirt or the way we speak or the way we look, that we lose focus of the amount of power of obedience carries. God has a plan. God placed you in the position that you're in for a reason. I don't know where you're at. I have no idea where you're at. I'd love to get to know you after service and as we build this community of believers, and I'd love to hear your story. But where is God placing you? Where's your obedience? You know, the crazy thing is that Joshua was obedient. And you know what happened? A promise was delivered because he was obedient. How many people here have given up on your promises? How many people have heard, hey, I will save him? Or hey, don't give up on this person. You can't see it right now. You can't see it right now. You can't see past your whatever struggle, whatever problem that you're having. You can't see it. You just can't see it. And you so quickly, like many of us, we dismiss it. We're like, okay, maybe God doesn't want this. And we just completely give up. But if we understand one thing, guys, is that God does not ask us for his input. For our input. God is not asking you to, hey, what do you think? Should we go save this person? No. He's not asking you. He's asking you to be willing and obedient to go and be that vessel. Again, I don't know where you at. Maybe you have a coworker that doesn't believe. Maybe you have a coworker who is sick. Or maybe you have a friend or a family member. I don't know what it is. But when God said pray without ceasing, that means praise without ceasing. Okay, God, how many times do I have to pray? When he says forgive, did he say forgive just one time? If he doesn't accept it, then walk away? No. Jesus says 70 times 70. Goodness, I don't even know how to do the math. But it's crazy. It's so crazy to realize that sometimes we want to put our input in the plans of God. We want to make sure that the plans of God align with what we got going on. Joshua was just asked to take a city, doing something completely opposite of what he knows gets the job done. He knows that going into battle and defeating the other kingdoms by fighting. And God asked him to do completely opposite. Did God ask Joshua, hey, Joshua, what do you think? Should we attack the south? No, no. He said, this is how I want you to do it. Joshua obeyed. Joshua was obedient to that calling. Joshua was obedient to God's plan. He didn't doubt. He went and did it. You know, it's so amazing when you look at things like that, and it brings you back to a point where, man, how many times have I screwed up and dropped the ball? And it's like, man, you know what? I should have prayed a little harder for this person. Man, I should have done this. I should have done that, you know. And it's always good to look at the scripture and remember that God is asking you to just be willing. Just be willing. Just be willing. He's not asking you to be prepared. Just be willing. Just be right there. I want to move into to our last point. And it's crazy because obedience builds our faith, and faith builds our obedience. The more we trust God and we're obedient in his plan, the more we start to see that God is able. The more we start to see that, hey, God, you didn't leave me hanging over there. You got me out of that addiction. You saved that person. You were there when I was struggling, God. And then you start to build this faith, and you start to build this records of who God is. Obedience builds your faith. Obedience builds the foundation. We become obedient. You have faith that know that God is able. God, Jesus says, all you have to do is have faith as a mustard seed. I was pretty shocked when I was actually in a youth I think it was a youth conference, when they gave me a mustard seed, and I'm like, that's a mustard seed? I'm like, that's little, you know, it's really small. You know, but the thing is this, is that I'm like, you become so blown away that Jesus asks us for that much of faith. For that much of faith to move a mountain. To move something that is so impossible for us, to move something that in your mind it can never be moved. A third point, Joshua was full of faith. And for those of you that have your talk notes, this is the third point. I have to do it, guys. So make sure, if you have your talk notes, make sure you write it down, please. Okay. All right. But Joshua was full of faith. All right. And I'm gonna tell you why this is good to write it down. Because it reminds you when God spoke to you. So whenever you're going through something, whenever you see God's blessing in your life, whenever you see something happening that you can't explain, I'm like, that had to be God. That was something way beyond my, you know, I can't even think about it. You write it down and you develop a journal, and that journal can put you back and it reminds you that God was faithful. That God was faithful since day one. Joshua was a man full of faith. Joshua led the people of Israel into the promised land. He was chosen by God to take hold of this promise, to be able to carry this new generation into the promised land. And you know what? The rest of the chapters of Joshua, specifically in chapter 6, it says that he defeated 31 kings. And then the Bible says that he defeated 31 kings. And when you look at that scripture and you say, wow, okay, perfect. He defeated 31 kings. He went and conquered the land and they became the nation of Israel. Yay, hooray. It's so easy to overlook that as those things were happening, Joshua was a relationship was being unfolded between Joshua and God. Every time Joshua would go out and fight another kingdom, he would go and ask for God's direction. Okay, God, what would we do now? What do we do? How are we going to do this? He was ready. We see a relationship unfold between God and Joshua. And we see this amazing thing happen to where Joshua was not ever doubting God, but he was ready to listen, and he was full of faith to go out and do whatever God said to do. 31 kings he defeated. If we can have Frankie and the team come up real quick. And guys, I wanted to keep this as simple as possible for you guys. I wanted to give you just the life of Joshua as it is, and to remind you that you know, whenever you become a servant, whenever you're obedient to God, it leads you to live a life of faith. Because putting yourself in front row to see God's miracle and being obedient, it does this. So serving puts you in the front row, and being obedient puts you right there in the center of God's miracle. It puts you right there in the center of God's miracle because you're willing to obey God. Again, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what or the reason why, God solely put Joshua in my heart. Whenever Pastor Darren said, hey, make sure you get ready because in July, you're going to be preaching, and you're going to talk about someone in the Bible. The thing is going to be running with giants. And the thing is this, it's like, okay, running with giants, who do I pick? Joshua was the first one to pop in my head. See, we look at the life of Joshua, and when we say like, oh yeah, that's amazing. He was able to do great things. But we quickly forget that God told him to be strong and courageous not once, but three times. If someone tells you to be strong and courageous one time, that means you're lacking something. Three times? I can only imagine what Joshua was going through whenever he was given the command, go and do this. Go and do this. Go and do this. But you know the beauty about that is that right below that be strong and courageous, he tells him this. Do not let the book of the law depart from you. Meditate on it day and night. Many of us look at that scripture and be like, oh, great, another commandment. You know, you look at the Ten Commandments, cool. And then you look at the law, it's like 600 and something laws about it. Are you kidding me, God? I can't even keep one, man. You know, what am I going to keep? You know, it becomes overwhelming to see that. So whenever you look at Joshua in being known as the life of faith, as living a life of faith, and God said, do not let this book of the law depart from you. What he was telling him was this. Spend time with me. Spend time with me. Remember, spend time with me. When we see those commands not as an obligation, but as a way to spend time with God, everything changes. Because now you're not praying because you have to do your 15 minutes a day, or you have to read the whole Bible in a year, so that means I have to read the whole book of Numbers in one day, because I haven't read it in like 2 years, so yeah. But it tells you, it gives you the opportunity to come before God and to know him. It gives you the opportunity to come and get to know your God. Guys, we have a choice. We have a choice. And I don't want to go on and on, but we have a generation of students. I am the youth pastor here at the church. I see the students. I see those kids. They want to follow God. They want to know about God. Are we going to be the generation that came out of Egypt and gave the younger generation the wrong example of how to follow God? Are we going to be that generation that doesn't care about our younger generation? Or are we going to serve? Or are we going to be obedient? Or are we going to be known as that person who's full of faith that no matter what, he's going to do what God asks him to do? And again, I don't want to throw this at you guys, but man, I know Pastor Darren said this before. We live in times where things get very confusing. There's a lot of things going on. There's just too much things happening. It's just this, is that, is this and that. And then you look at the whole world and you're like, oh my goodness, what is going on right now? I think I'm not even safe to go grab ice cream anymore, you know? I don't even know what is going on in the world. Where is God? Where is God? God made you. God made us. God made us to reach the next generation, to reach that person who doesn't know. You have a choice. You have a choice. Become proactive. Where is God asking you to serve? Position yourself. Allow God to show you that he is who he is. Become obedient. What is one thing that God's been asking you to do this whole time? And you just keep pushing it off and keep pushing it off, keep pushing it off. Become obedient. Become that center of that miracle. Become that center of the miracle. Be known as a person of faith. Be known as a person who's going to stand before God and is not going to doubt anything else. I didn't want to talk about Joshua and his two highlights, how he was a spy and he went and he believed, and yes, everybody knows. I wanted to point out a different Joshua to you guys. I wanted to show you a different Joshua to you guys, a Joshua that is very much like us, who didn't do anything different but to serve and to be obedient, which led him to be known as a man of faith. We have an opportunity to be that person. There is a need. Jesus said this, there's a harvest, but the workers are few. You know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Gosh, the hurt is there, guys. The hurt is there. Encourage you guys. Serve. Be obedient. I want to close the service up with the last slide here and our big takeaway. Our big takeaway, guys, is that whenever you position yourself and you allow yourself to be in God's presence, God's voice becomes louder when you seek His presence. As you do these things, as you serve, as you become obedient to God and you seek God's presence, His voice becomes so clear in your mind that you have no doubt that it was God. That you know that it was God, the one that was saying to you, just hold on for one more second. Just hold on. Do not give up. I got this. But please don't give up. Bible says that He will bring everything into completion. Whatever He started, He's going to bring it into completion. Do not lose that. His voice becomes very clear after you seek, after you see, and after you position yourself in a position where you can hear and build that relationship with God. See, I want to be like Joshua in his last days. Joshua said this to the people of Israel when he's about to, he's old. He said this, soon I will die, and I'm going the way everything on earth. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. How amazing is that? To be able to testify before the whole nation, not one has failed. Not one single, it testifies of God's goodness, it testifies of God's greatness. I want that to be the legacy that I leave behind. Gosh, Joshua, man, he, it's so amazing when he said that. Not a single one has failed. Can you imagine that amount of struggle and faith it takes to say not one has failed? Goodness, that's what I want to be. I'm at the end of the days when I'm here, my wife's taking care of me. I want to say, remember that not one single promise has failed. Because I'm going to tell you this, it's just next generation, they need to remember that not one single promise has failed. So they can know that their God is truth. So they can know that the same God that defeated giant, that opened up the Red Sea, the same God who delivered a promise is very well active today. Not a single one has failed. I want to throw that at you. Can you say the same today? Not a single promise has failed? What have you been praying for? Guys, I'm for those of you who know me about 5 years ago, I did not want to be a youth pastor. I don't like being up here. I don't like being in front of you guys. Not that you guys, but it's just a personal thing. You know, I don't like. But the thing is this, that's not my thing. But when God placed it in my heart, I knew that I had a choice to obey or not to obey, to listen to God or not to listen to God. The crazy thing about it is that through serving in the youth ministry, I was able to meet my wife. I was able to raise a family. I was able to be here with you guys. And man, that alone right there is enough. You know? Guys, encourage you. Go out and be proactive in your communities. Become a Joshua in your communities. Become a servant, become obedient in your communities. Not a single one has failed.